If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I just invite you to turn with me to 1 John. It's also in your sermon notes in your bulletin if you want to take a look at that there. But 1 John chapter 2, John, this is the disciple John, is writing to the church, and he's writing to just some different folk who are there. And in verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 John, he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. And I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. And we're going to be thinking this morning a little bit about the different ways that we relate to God and the different stages that we go through as doing that. So let's just pray this morning as we come and bow before God. Father God, we pray this morning that you would speak to us. Father, we want to hear your voice. We want to be touched by you afresh. Father, we come with distractions in our lives. We've come from busy weeks. We've come, some of us, from a lot of joy and some of us for some challenges. Father, as our sovereign God, we place these with you. We know that you are in control, and Father, we pray that you would work out these things. But now, Father, we pray that we can just set that aside and we can come. We can hear your voice speak to us. As we've worshiped you, you've brought us up to heaven to be in your very presence. And now, God, as we brought you our praise, we want you to just encourage us, challenge us, teach us. Whatever it is you need us to hear this morning, may we hear that. And Father, we just ask that you would speak through the words, but primarily through your Spirit. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're coming in this morning, you're coming in at the very last sermon of a series that we've been doing since Christmas time on having spiritual conversations. Just how do we talk to people about God, about the things that are important to us in our spiritual lives? And we called the series kind of Beyond Awkward because there's an awkwardness to bringing God up in conversation today in Canada. It just isn't something that's kind of universally socially acceptable, and so it takes some courage to do that. And there's just some questions if you're following along in your sermon notes at home here. It just kind of asks you there, why would I step out and go into awkward places to talk about God? And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is just as we kind of leave this and move into, we're going to be talking about the book of Ruth for the next 3 weeks as we prepare for Easter. But, you know, as we leave this, so that we don't just forget about this, but like, why would I continue to do this? Why would I risk and step out? And I'm going to answer that in a couple of ways, and it's going to be wrapped around traffic signs and hats and a few other kind of things to help you try and remember it. But, you know, life is hard and challenging, as I was kind of alluding to in the prayer, and we probably need a good reason to do that. And so I was just kind of wondering, as, you know, as I was thinking through these traffic signs as part of the sermon, if you were to sum up, now just close your eyes for a second and just kind of think, as opposed to close your eyes and sleep, which is not a good thing. What traffic sign would kind of sum up your week? You know, just all those traffic signs that you can think of. If it was a metaphor for your life, what kind would it be? You can open your eyes again. But I just kind of thought maybe we'd throw a couple up there. That might be this week for you, or that one, or that one, that one. Threw that in for some of you. Well, why would I go? So here's the question. Why would I step out and go into awkward places for God? And I think the answer to that is fairly simple. Only if I saw high value in doing it. Only if I saw that there was some value or purpose to the conversation. And so I asked the second question, well, what is the value? What is that high value? What is the result of a spiritual conversation that we could have? And I kind of want to give you three answers to that we could have. And I think they're all right. The first one is, you know, in any spiritual conversation, all we're trying to do is help that person take one more step closer to God. It may be a step of understanding. It may be a step of obedience. It may be a step of just getting over some emotional hurdles. It may be, I don't know what. But, you know, all we're trying to do is to get them to take one more step. Sometimes we think we have to get them all the way to wherever in a conversation, but really all we're trying to do is to keep the conversation going and to help them take a step. Doesn't always happen, but that's sort of the goal. The second thing is we want to help people make a commitment to God. One of the things we believe really strongly is that at some point in our lives, we need to have a relationship with God where we acknowledge that we have sinned, that we've stepped away from God deliberately or accidentally, whatever, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we just drift. But that we found ourselves away from God and we need to come back and we need to accept God's offer of forgiveness. And at some point, we need to do that. And so that's kind of a goal of spiritual conversation, is that we want to help people get to that point. That's sort of, if, you know, one step, that's sort of the intermediate step. And what I want to suggest this morning is that there's a third step, and it's that we want to help people move to spiritual maturity. And I just kind of wonder, if you could get any one of those three things to happen out of a spiritual conversation, would you be willing to risk? And it's been kind of fun. I've been hearing stories about people that have kind of risked, you know, people going into restaurants and just kind of mentioning casually that they're part of a church or something, came up in conversation, and you know, that it's led to a response, or someone else that's, you know, had a conversation with someone, and there's just been an openness that's there that they didn't expect. And there's just been a chance to kind of have a word about God. But if you could risk speaking about God and it didn't turn negative and the person showed some kind of interest and there was a willingness to continue the conversation at another date, would you be willing to risk? And I just kind of think that as we pray, God begins to do that. God begins to open up places of conversation. But as we're having that conversation, then the next thing to figure out is, well, what's my end goal? Because I think you need to start with the end in mind. And the whole thing is just to try and figure out what is it that we're trying to do? And I think the challenge is that if you grew up in church and you understand some of this language, you were taught, so what I want to do is have a person acknowledge that they need God in their life and in some way ask him to kind of come back, you know, confess our sin, ask God to come back into our life. And that's sort of my goal. And I think the challenge with that is if that's our goal, that might be where we hit. And the result of that is that we have people that have a relationship with God, but they haven't gone any further. And so this morning, I just want to challenge us in our own thinking. This whole idea of can we go further? And in that passage that I read to you from 1 John, he talks about dear children, he talks about young people, and he talks about fathers. In other words, he kind of sees that there's this progress or process of moving. And I want to suggest to you this morning that all of us, if we're going to have a relationship with God, are going to go through four stages of maturity. And so I just want to kind of look at that this morning, because that's what we're leading people to in this conversation, is not just, well, you know, acknowledge God and then keep doing what you were doing. We're saying we want you to have a whole life experience with God, that there's a lot more to it. And maybe at the same time as I'm talking about that, maybe just in your head, try and figure out for yourself, where am I in my spiritual maturity? Okay? Game for that? All right. Let's jump in. The first one, we start out as a child. We start the Christian life as we do the physical life as an infant or a child. And we know things about babies. They don't know much. They can't do much. But they are alive and they are loved by their fathers and mothers. And as children begin to grow up, we know that one of the characteristics of children is I'm just going to help you figure out where you are at this, or where, you know, and that is kind of what's the question that each stage asks. And the question that stage asks is, what's in it for me? Children are self-centered. We called it being childish for a reason. We need to teach them to share. See, if we go into the nursery and we see two-year-olds in there and they both go after the same toy, one of them is not going to just step back and say, oh, no, please, you know. They're going to claw each other's eyes out. And, you know, if your child's in the nursery, that's what's happening right now, so feel good about it. That's why we have trained people in there to patch them up afterwards. But we know that, you know, children don't tend to share well. It's what's in it for me. You know, they need to be taught to feed themselves. They need to be taught to control themselves. And it's the same thing, I think, when we become Christians, when we enter into this relationship with God, often, though not always, but often it's because we see God willing to give us something that we want. And last week we suggested some of those things. We want God's power in our lives. You know, we're in need of Him to do something for us. We want His presence. We just sense a loneliness and emptiness. We just want His presence in the midst of that. Sometimes we want His protection. And we just want God to protect us. Maybe we want His provision. We need Him to do something, to give us something. You know, we don't have a job. We don't have this. We don't have something else. Maybe sometimes we just want His pardon. Isn't that a brilliant list of P's? Thought you might have missed it, so I thought I'd just tell you that that's what they were. But we want God to forgive us. That when we come to God, we usually want something because it's what's in it for me. And when we start out the Christian life, we accept God and Jesus as our Savior, as the person who's going to forgive us and give us all these good things. But we're childish, and so the sign that I kind of put in your notes there is that playground sign. You know, it's the children playing. And so as a child, we get baptized, we start trying to read the Bible, we're trying to begin to do this, but it's a challenge. And we're in that stage, and maybe you're there this morning. As we start to mature a little bit, we move into a stage we call youth, and that's the next maturity. And youth are part-time adults. That's how I define youth. Sorry, guys. But at times, our youth stun us with their maturity, and at times, they stun us by their immaturity. And if you're a parent of a youth, you know you never know which one you're going to get, and it's kind of fun that way. But that's what youth is all about. It's becoming adult, but it's leaving childhood, and it's that in-between stage where you're kind of both at the same time. And spiritually, we become youth as we start to grow with God. We start to volunteer and to give and to learn about God, and it becomes less about us and more about others. But generally, I think the key question for a youth is, what is convenient for me? And this, you know, people, and we use language here very carefully at times. Sometimes we're pretty loose, but sometimes we use language very carefully. I make a big distinction between volunteering and serving. I volunteer when it's convenient. I volunteer when it's a one-off. I volunteer when, you know, whatever. But I serve when it's a regular thing that's got my heart. I give when I'm giving what's convenient, what I'm not going to miss, what I'm able to give. But tithing is giving 10%. And so there's this difference, and in a youth, it's convenience, it's volunteering, it's giving, it's beginning. But the traffic sign for it would be that divided highway sign, that kind of, it could go either way kind of sign. The biblical term is a divided heart. And they want to serve God, but they also want to serve themselves, and it's sort of our own comfort. And you remember that rich young ruler story that we read a few weeks ago, where he comes to God, he says, I just want to worship you fully. What do I need to do? And Jesus gives him a couple of things. He says, yeah, I've done all that, you know, because I'm a part-time adult. And Jesus says, well, then, you know, now you need to do this. And he says, oh, no. That's giving up too much. And he wants to stay where he is, because it's convenient. Part way to God, but not willing to commit fully. Third step is the step of an adult. Adults are the hard workers of our world. They've learned that life is not about them. They've learned to delay gratification. They've learned to work hard to serve others. And I know that's a pretty idealistic view of adults, but anyway, the question in the spiritual world is simply this: how do I serve God? And it's this idea that we've come to God and it's, for many of us, it's maturity. It's full maturity. It's the end of the road. It's a relationship not based on what can God give me, but what can I do for God? It's a gratefulness and a thankfulness to God for what he's done. And when we do something, we're not doing it to earn his love. We're doing it because he loves us so much, we just want to say thank you, and it's our way of saying thank you. And if there's a sign for that, it's that, I don't know what that sign is, actually. It is not up there, so we don't have to worry about it. But in your notes is a men working sign, but you're not allowed to say men working, so I guess it's workers working, which is sort of redundant. So I don't know what it is. In Greek, when they taught us Greek, the passive, you can tell a passive verb because it has M-E-N in at one point, and they said, you know, just have to think of men working because every time you drive past them, they're actually passive and sitting in the thing, and that's how you remember that verb form. So I don't know what you do with that. But anyway, it's this idea of the hard work of the people who are serving God and doing all this stuff. And we've been trying to figure out as a congregation, as a staff, kind of figure out, how do you tell if you're in the adult category? And I think we got like four measuring tools. Now, if you think you're spiritually mature, this is kind of four ways that we kind of measure that. And we're just kind of starting to do that. And so we try to figure out, what is it that we could see that would help us figure out if a person is a spiritual adult or not? So there's some things we can't see. We can't see if you do a spiritual quiet time every day. We can't see if you tithe. We can't see if you have spiritual conversations with your friends. But we kind of thought, what are four things that we could see that would just give us some indication? And maybe this is just a way this morning, if you're kind of figuring out, am I in the youth, child, adult categories? Where am I? Here's four things. The first one is baptism and membership. Baptism is our public declaration that we've made a commitment to God and that we want to serve him. And membership is that we're willing to submit to his body, the church. And I always tell people, you know, like I've read these church membership things where all the benefits of membership. Well, we don't have any benefits of membership here, really. You can vote at the annual meeting, which we just held, so you got a year before you can do that again. And at that annual meeting, the only thing we ever vote on, basically, is to elect some officers and the budget. And you can be an officer in the church, which means you can be on the board or you can be on the elders. And that's really the only two things that I can think of that membership does for you. There's nothing in it for you. Because membership is an adult thing. An adult thing is not what's in it for me. It's how can I serve God. Membership is saying I'm willing to submit to God publicly through baptism, and I'm willing to submit through the church. And I know a lot of you this morning aren't members here, and so this is just a challenge for you. Why not? What is it about membership, and what is it about kind of publicly submitting to his body that we don't want to do? And a lot of us say, well, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah, marriage doesn't make a lot of difference either, except, you know, when you live together and then when you decide to get married, there's a commitment that's a little bit different, and I think it's the same with membership. And so this morning we say, you know, baptism and membership is one of the signs that it's really not about me, it's about serving God. And serving God in that way. The second one is a small group. It's connecting with other believers to learn and grow together, acknowledging that we need other people and that we can serve other people. Place of serving and being served. And when we aren't part of a small group, what it really says, we don't value community. Or it says that our busyness, whatever it is we're busy with, is more important than that. In other words, it's inconvenience, and we know inconvenience goes to another stage of maturity. And just this whole point of being in small groups is so crucial because it's where we learn and grow. It's where we are encouraged and supported. You know, when we go through the challenging things of life, it's the place where we can support and encourage others when they go through the challenging things of life. And I just want to encourage you, if you're not part of a small group, that is such a crucial place to be, both to serve and to be served. And then thirdly, it's serving. willing to use the gifts that God has given us to make a difference in the world. And again, language very careful here. Volunteering, not serving, because volunteering is when it's convenient and serving is when it's ongoing and has a cost to it. And if you serve in the church, we call that ministry. If you serve in the community, we call that mission. And it's both. It's not just I'm trying to get people to serve in the church. I think we need to serve in our communities. We need to serve in our community association. We need to serve in the sporting worlds. We need to serve in those things. And we need to be Christians in those places. And so we serve somewhere using the gifts that God's given us. And the fourth thing we measure is generosity. And we have no way of measuring your generosity. I don't know what you give. No one in the church knows what you give except the person who writes out your offering receipt for tax purposes at the end of the year. And they're primarily working from your number on your envelope, so they don't even see the name all the time. So we got no way of measuring that one. We just measure offering envelopes. Do you have offering envelopes? Are you committed to regularly giving to God's work? And I think, you know, what God calls us to is tithing. He calls us to that giving of 10%, that giving regularly is our way of saying to God, everything we have comes from you, and we want to acknowledge that. And everything we get from you is enough, and we want to acknowledge that we trust you, and we're able to give to you. So what does a mature adult look like? Well, they look like someone who's been baptized and is a member. They look like someone who's part of a small group, someone who's serving, someone who's tithing. We just call it the big four. But God is in control of all the important areas of their life. And we sat down and we discussed that and said, well, are those really four important things? And we said, well, what they do is they show whether God is Lord in various areas of our life. Is he Lord of our money? Is he Lord of our time? Is he Lord of our relationships? Is he Lord of our life? And we used to say, that's what we're all aiming for. If only we could be spiritual adults and just mature and just doing God's work, that would be good. And then we began to think, you know, there's really one more step. There's one more step beyond that. Jesus, in your notes there, said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And it's this whole idea that God wants us to reproduce. He wants us to go and make disciples. He wants us to be parents. And so we see the goal of the Christian life as being to be a spiritual parent, to become a reproducing adult. And we have spiritual conversations with people in the hopes that we can help them come to faith and discover that they need God and they need to leave their old self-centered life behind, that they need to start over with God, that there's this opportunity to grow. And it's the goal of spiritual adults is to reproduce themselves in others. And primarily we want our adults reproducing. We all know that youth can reproduce. The challenge is when youth reproduce, it doesn't always go well. But when adults reproduce, they can reproduce themselves. And they have the maturity to be there, to walk with that person through the process. And the question that a parent asks is simply this, who can I reproduce myself in? And we do that in all our areas of gifts. If you're gifted as a musician, you need to be reproducing yourself in other musicians. If you're gifted as a small group leader, you need to be reproducing yourself in other small group leaders. If we're gifted as a church, we need to be reproducing ourselves in other churches. We reproduce what we are. And if we're a Christian, we need to be reproducing ourselves in that way. And the sign is just that school zone sign of an adult leading a child, that reproduction kind of thing. Start out by asking a simple question. Why would I risk spiritual conversations when they have the potential to go bad? Why would I risk spiritual conversations when they go against the grain of society? Why would I risk spiritual conversations when maybe our friends aren't all that interested in hearing from us? And the answer I gave was simply this, that we do it because God calls us to, and we do it because we see the possibility and potential for results. And it's this whole idea of being able to reproduce ourselves. We're going to come to communion in a couple of minutes, and you know, Jesus did communion with his disciples on that Thursday before Good Friday. They're in the upper room, and he says, you know, this is communion, and they eat this meal together, and he gives it this symbolic thing. And I kind of wonder if there's not really two communions in the Bible, because I find in John 21 another one. It's Jesus has died and been crucified, and he's risen again, and it's sometime in that next little while. And Jesus denied, Peter denied Jesus on that night, you remember? And Peter thinks, well, this is all over. You know, I'm not a spiritual adult anymore. I'm just a child. You know, what's in it for me? Safety. I'm out of here. And you know, the challenge with the spiritual life is you can regress easily. And he just feels that, you know, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. And the rest of the disciples go with him because it's better than anything else they had on their thing. And as they're out fishing, Jesus meets them on the beach. And he brings the fillet of fish with him. And he has this fire going, and they have this little meal together. And then he has this conversation with Peter at the end of it. I put it in your notes. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And it's that phrase that catches me, and I don't know if it catches you, but it catches me this morning. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than what's in it for you? Do you love me more than when it's just convenient? Do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes. And Jesus says, then feed my sheep, then reproduce yourself in others. And I think this morning, as we gather around this table, Jesus is kind of asking that same question of us this morning. The signs of his love are here. His broken body, his shed blood. He died for us. And he's asking us this morning this very, very simple question. Do you love me? And we, oh, yeah, I love you. No, no, he says, let me finish. Do you love me more than these? And the more than these is vague. The more than these is whatever you need to put in there, whatever is kind of first in your life. And it may be your convenience, or it may be, you know, your family, or it may be whatever it is. I don't know what it is for you, but the question this morning is very pointed. It's, do you love me more than these? And the answer to that question puts you on that spiritual continuum. And so this morning, maybe, you know, you're getting asked that question, and you know, you are saying to God, I've been kind of searching you out, and I do want to make that commitment. And it takes a commitment to enter onto this whole continuum. And you say, yeah, I want to be your child. And it takes just kind of accepting God's forgiveness. And if you'd love to do that today, we have someone who will be happy to walk with you through that process. But this morning, I kind of just put four stools out here because they kind of thing. And, you know, this morning, this is the child one. I got it from the children's pastor, so I know that. And she said, are you going to wear it? And I said, no, I don't think so. But you know, this morning, when you start out in the Christian life, you know, it's all about you. And the question this morning is, have you made it to this step, but are you stuck here? Are you stuck in it's all about me, what, you know, what's in it for me? Or have you started to move to that next step where it's a little bit more the youth? And I do need to apologize to all the Texas A&M Aggies that are in the congregation, because I know you're here. Someone said, well, at least you put it on the youth side of the thing, the childish side. But, you know, the baseball cap, right? The youth thing. You know, the youth thing is, it's when it's convenient. It's this part-time thing. Yeah, sometimes I'm hot for God, but sometimes I'm cold. Sometimes I'm doing stuff and sometimes I'm not. You know, it's the adult, it's the cap thing. And maybe you've made a start, but you're just kind of stuck in that convenience stage. And you want to move over to the adult stage, but you're kind of stuck there, and you're kind of wondering, well, how do I do that? Well, we talked about some of the things that do that, you know, because the adults are the hardworking, you know, they're the guys at work stage. And the adult thing, you know, it's getting beyond convenience and what's in it for me, and it's getting to that place where We commit ourselves through baptism and membership. We commit ourselves through serving and through giving, and we commit ourselves through being part of a small group, and we commit ourselves in all areas of our life, and we become mature, and we become the people that the church depends on and the missions depend on and all those kind of things. And sometimes we think when we get to that point, we've kind of arrived. And the reminder this morning is that there's just that one more step, that if you've made it to this point, it's time to take that one more step to being a parent. I didn't know what kind of hat to use for a parent, so I took Dawn's because she's a parent. And, you know, just kind of that hat of maturity. And it's just that whole thing of, you know, are you willing to try and help others enter into this journey? Are you willing to risk that others may come to know? Do you have to get through all this to get to that? No, you can start it back there. In fact, it's one of the fastest ways to grow is start talking to people about faith and stuff, because then you discover they got questions you don't know the answers to, and you got to learn and grow to do that. And man, sometimes it takes a lot of courage to have conversations, right? And that just calls you back to God and just relying on His Holy Spirit, and it really helps you mature. But it's this walking through the process. This morning, if you'd like to be part of a small group, talk to Tyler. He organizes all that. He'd love to talk to you. If you want to get offering envelopes and kind of get regular in your giving, we have those available as well. Just talk to Tyler at the front desk, or else just email us. If you want to be serving in some capacity, we'd love to connect with you. We just want to meet with you. Our goal is not to tell you what you need to do. Our goal is to help you discover what God made you to do. You're shaped in a specific way to serve in specific ways. We just want to help you do that. If you're interested in baptism and membership, we have a baptism membership class coming up in a couple of weeks, just in the evening, 6:30 to 8. We'll give you some nice dessert. We'll look after your kids. We'll just talk to you about that, what it means to be a member. And we'd love to have you part of that as well. But this morning, I just think God is calling us to take a step. Same as when we talk to people in spiritual conversation, all God wants them to do is take a step. I think He's calling us to take a step. And the question this morning is, what's your step? Where are you sitting? How long have you been sitting there? And is God calling you to kind of take another step towards maturity, another step towards making a difference? And I've been thinking about this week. This is all brand new. Even the staff haven't heard this crazy thought of mine. But I began to think, you know, what's our purpose as a church? And we've always said our purpose as a church is to make fully devoted followers of Jesus, fully devoted disciples, people that are in here. And then I began to ask myself the question, why? Why fully devoted followers? Why disciples? Is there an end goal to that? Well, because it pleases God. Yeah, that's true. But I began to think, you know, we really want to build fully devoted disciples of God who are helping to rebuild a broken world. That the end goal is Jesus' prayer, you know, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That when God said to Abraham, you know, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations, that God is calling us to rebuild that broken world. And the only people that can rebuild this broken world are the people who have committed themselves to this process of maturity. Wouldn't it be great if out of this congregation we begin to see the world being rebuilt? We begin to see changes being made in our community, in our city, in our country, in our world. Wouldn't it be great if each of us could look back and say, you know, I had some small part to play in rebuilding God's broken world because of what God has done in me and what I've allowed God to do in me. So this morning, just that challenge. Are you willing to continue this journey of spiritual conversation? Are you willing to continue your own journey of spiritual maturity that you can be more effective in that? Are you willing to try and help others enter into this journey towards maturity, so that together we can make a difference in the world, that we can make a difference in eternity, that we can make a difference for God. As we gather around the table this morning, I think God is asking you a very, very simple question. Do you love me more than these? And the answer to that question will help you figure out where you are on the journey of life. What's your sign of life? And maybe this morning as you gather and you say yes, maybe your question back to God is, and God, what's my next step with you? Let's come and gather around this table. And let's prepare to be reminded of God's awesome love for us and all he's done. And let's come and prepare ourselves to enter into that journey afresh with him. Father God, we thank you for this journey of life, this journey of maturity. Father, we thank you that you are at work in our lives. And yet it's not about us. It's about what you can do through us to rebuild a world that's broken in so many ways. Father God, help us, we pray, to be those who hear your voice, who answer your question, yes, Lord, we love you more than these, and who enter into this journey of maturity afresh. Teach us our next step with you, Lord, that we may walk with you. And as we come to communion now, Father, we pray, remind us afresh of your love and your grace. And through the taking of these elements and our recommitment to you, equip us afresh to be your people. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.